Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We have been speaking about the second coming of Jesus, the second advent of Jesus, and if you were with us the last few weeks, had talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb and Jesus coming back at the Battle of Armageddon with the saints, not coming for the saints, but coming with the saints. And he defeated the armies of the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet. The Antichrist and the false prophet were thrown alive in Revelation 19, verse 20. It says the beast was captured and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. And so Jesus has come back with the saints, and he has defeated the armies of the Antichrist. He's defeated the armies of the beast, the false prophet. And now in chapter 20 of Revelation, here is Jesus coming, and he's going to establish his millennial reign. And I know there's some teaching out there that says that Jesus has already established his reign, that we're not to take this literally, that we're not to take the teaching of the millennial reign literally. I want you to know, beloved, I don't believe that. I believe Jesus is coming back to reign for 1,000 years, just as it says in the Bible. I take this literally, and I see that it will happen. I see prophetically that it's going to happen, that the end time events are leading up to this event, that the events of the day, the current events of all the nations coming against Israel, and all these signs that point to the coming back, the second advent of Jesus Christ, they will be literally fulfilled. Just as all the prophecies regarding Jesus Christ have been literally fulfilled, so too will these prophecies yet to be fulfilled. They will be literally fulfilled in the life and the ministry and the reign of Jesus Christ. Well, if you have your Bibles there, let's look at Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Well, I'm going to stop right there and just say, in chapter 19, we saw that two-thirds of the demonic trinity had already been dealt with, the beast or the Antichrist and his religious cohort, the false prophet, were dealt with, and they were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And now we are dealing with the devil. Jesus is dealing with the devil. He has sent an angel down to bind this old devil. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more. Well, people say erroneously, I believe, that this millennial reign is not to be taken literally, but I see here a great plan of Jesus to establish here after the tribulation years, after the 7 years of the tribulation, for Jesus to come with the saints, the tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints who have been up in heaven with him. He is coming with them to set up his rule, to set up his reign, to establish his reign for 1,000 years. And that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. I see it, and I believe it. I believe it with the innocence of a child, and I hope you do too as well. In chapter 20, verse 4, it says, I saw thrones, and they sat on them. That is, the saints, tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints, they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Well, beloved, I want you to know that you're being prepared not just to dance around and play harps in heaven. That's good enough. That's wonderful in its own right. That's something to look forward to. But you're also being prepared to live and to reign and to rule and to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. If you're one of those saints that is taken up in the rapture, if you're one of those saints that is caught up and you are caught up to heaven and you sit with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb, then when you come back with him, you're going to rule and to reign with him, because you have been prepared as a priest of God, as a chosen generation. You have been prepared to rule and to reign over the natural world. That is the world that is going to be here during the 1,000 years. That is going to be the natural world. You're going to be a co-ruler and reigner with Jesus Christ. That's not to say that you're God or that you're Jesus, but you're being prepared to rule and reign with Jesus over the natural world during that 1,000 years. Well, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Well, he's speaking to the saints on this earth at that time, and he's saying you're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And so we have been called, beloved, we have been called to be priests of God. We're not just flunkies. We're not just bystanders. We're not just of no significance at all. We're being called and being raised up and being built up, not only to be conformed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which it tells us in Romans 8:29, that those that he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son Jesus Christ, but also you're being prepared to rule and reign over the natural world as a ruler and reigner and as a priest of the kingdom of God. Well, Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, and who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy." And so again, Peter re-emphasizes the point that you are a chosen person, you're part of a chosen generation, that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, and that you may proclaim the praises of him, of Jesus, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if you are a believer today, you know what I'm talking about, that you're walking under the anointing, that you're walking under the glory of God, that you're actually experiencing a bit of heaven here on this earth. It's not the totality of heaven, it's not the totality of the kingdom of God, but you're experiencing, because you have the Spirit of God in you, you are experiencing that part of heaven that God will allow you to experience, and that you seek and that you wish for. God is going to give you that to you today, or he has already given it to you, so that you can start to exercise your authority here on this earth. Jesus gave the authority that he had in Matthew 28:19, when he told the disciples, he said, "Go into all the earth." He said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me." And then he said, "Go into all the earth and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age." And so Jesus committed to the disciples. He transmitted to them the authority that he had to go into this earth, to take authority over the demonic realm, to take authority over the demons, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, and to cast out demons. And so as he gave authority to the disciples, so also do you have that authority. All you have to do is claim it. All you have to do is start to walk with the Lord, and you can have that authority over the demonic realm, not only in your own life, but in your family and in those you pray for, and in nations, as God opens up doors for you to minister over nations. Because as Peter said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And beloved, take that seriously. Take it for all it is meant to be. You are a special person if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you are a chosen generation, a special people, and a holy nation, and you are a priest of the high priest of Jesus Christ, of the order of Melchizedek. You are a high priest also of the kingdom of God. And I spoke last week about, it was spoken over him by Isaiah, that his government would never end, that the government of the Messiah would never end. And I certainly have found that to be true as I have traveled the world to preach the gospel. I have found that to be true, that his government never ends. The increase of his government, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It just keeps incorporating more and more countries, more and more territory here on this earth. And so as you pray for his kingdom to continue to expand through you and through your family and through your community and through your nation, God will bless you. He will raise up priests in your family. He'll raise up priests in your community, and he'll raise up priests in this nation. And I'm not referring to priests of any particular denomination or any particular strain of Christianity. I'm talking about the priests of the kingdom of God who are going to eventually rule and reign with our Lord and Savior. If you have your Bible there, turn it to the second chapter of Isaiah, where Isaiah talks about the mountain of God and the end time millennial reign. In Isaiah 2 verse 2, it says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." Well, this is a picture of the millennial reign. If you can grasp that in your mind, that it is going to come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the chief, or as the top of the mountains. In verse 3, Isaiah 2, "And many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge." Now it's speaking about what's going to happen in the millennium, the events that will take place in the millennium. And this coincides exactly with what you read in Revelation 20. It says, "He shall judge between the nations, and he shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and nor shall they learn war anymore." And so the devil is going to be bound during that millennial reign, during that 1,000 years. The devil will be bound. There will be no warfare on this earth. People aren't going to be fighting with each other. People aren't going to be killing each other or stealing from each other or raping each other. People are going to be in peace because the Lord is going to reign. Jesus Christ, he is going to reign here on this earth with the saints who have come back with him to sit in judgment of the people here who are on this earth during the millennial reign. Well, let's go back to Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones, and they, that is the tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints, sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And so if you do not take the mark of the beast, if you do not allow beast to put that mark on you and you're taken up with the Lord, then you're going to come back with him and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And verse 5, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. And I hope that's you, beloved. I hope you have a part in the first resurrection. And it says in chapter 20, verse 6, over such the second death, over the first resurrection, in other words, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so that same term comes up. We're going to be reigning with Jesus. We're going to be ruling with him. The earth, the natural man, is going to be here on this earth, and we are going to have authority over him to rule and reign. It's just as if Adam and Eve had never sinned. That's the way it's going to be during the millennial reign. It's as if Adam and Eve had never sinned. Things are going to be going on. There's going to be buying and selling, and there's going to be farming, and there's going to be celebrations, and there's going to be marriages, and so there will be a need for government, and you will be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Well, in verse 7 now, it starts to get interesting in speaking of the fate of Satan, the devil. And now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And so we know that there will be some desire for rebellion during the millennium. There will be some people that will be chafing and some nations that will be chafing from the oppression, or what they consider to be oppression, and the rule and reign of Christ Jesus. And so Satan is going to go out one more time. He's going to be released for a short time, which I believe to be 3.5 years. He will be released for a short time to go out and deceive those people who have in their heart a desire to rebel one more time against the kingdom of God. And it says then in verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, that is the saints who were with Jesus Christ, and the beloved city, which is Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so for the final time, for the last time, the devil tries to bring rebellion against the kingdom of God, and for the final time the devil is defeated. For the final time, the devil is bound, only this time he's not going to get out. This time he's not going to be released. Nobody is going to give him any more chances after this. This is the end, beloved. This is the end of the devil. And he will be bound, and he will be thrown into the lake of fire with his cohorts, the beast and the false prophet. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then the final great white throne judgment is spoken of in chapter 20, verse 11. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Well, this is Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And so those who have died and they were not believing in Jesus Christ, they'd taken the mark of the beast, they'd taken that mark and served the devil and walked with the devil, they are now resurrected to be judged for all eternity. They are resurrected in the second resurrection. They are resurrected to stand before the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, who then will review their life, everything that they've done, all the works, that is the books that were open, all the works that they've done, all the times when Jesus sent someone to them to preach to them over the radio or over the TV or through the internet. Jesus has sent somebody to preach to them, or somebody in their family tried to talk them into knowing Jesus and accepting Jesus as the Lord and Savior, but they rejected, they turned away, they turned their backs on Jesus. And then it says in verse 12, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Well, if their name was not written in the book of life, then they have no part in the kingdom of God. If their name is not written in the book of life, they are going to be joining the devil in the lake of fire. They're going to be tormented for all eternity. And beloved, I hope that is not you. As we look at verse 13, the final, it says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, Jesus Christ is the righteous judge. He doesn't want to cast anybody into the lake of fire. He doesn't want to cast anybody into eternal torment. But he is the righteous judge. And I plead with you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you today that you would get down on your knees and invite him into your life to say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have need of a Savior because I can't save myself. I have separated myself from God with my sin. And as you pray to the Lord, as you pray to Jesus and ask him to come in and save you, ask him to come in and take up residency in your heart, he will send the Holy Spirit to reside in you. The Spirit of the living God will be in you. And as you do that today, I pray that you would do that so that your name can then be written down in the book of life. Well, it's just as real as the holiday you just celebrated. It's just as real as the chair you're sitting on. It's just as real as the job that you may have to go to on Monday morning. The kingdom of God is just as real. It's more real because it lasts for all eternity. And I just pray that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I pray that you submit your life to him, that you come to him and say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to be in your kingdom. I want to rule and reign with you for 1,000 years and then for all eternity after that in the new heaven and the new earth. As you commit your life to him, if you make that decision today to accept Jesus, I pray that you would get in touch with me, Pure Prairie, at Hotmail. Let me know that you made that decision, and I will rejoice with you and get you some materials for you to study to get you started on your Christian walk. Well, beloved, this day is for you. This day is so that you can know about Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you can accept him, and you can serve him and rule with him for all eternity as a royal priest of God. I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.